We're on week six of Church Matters, and I have personally enjoyed this series very much. It's very challenging to us as a church. What is God saying to the church? And today, as Chris has led us beautifully in worship again, we're looking at the community, and that is a challenge. Someone once said that church would be brilliant if it wasn't for the people. We're a community. And sometimes we can encourage one another, and sometimes, if we're honest, we can rub one another up the wrong way. So we're trying to look this morning on how we can all get on as a church family. In fact, I've titled it slightly different. I prefer this title, How to Treat People in the Church. And I've asked a really good friend of mine, Brian, if he would actually do the Bible reading for me this morning. We've worked together for years, haven't we, Brian? And I never thought the day would come where we're working together again. But God is wonderful. And so I invite Brian to come and share the reading for us this morning. Thanks, Brian.
Well, it says on there, 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll be reading the whole of the chapter, plus the two first verses of chapter 6 as well. If you're not quite sure where 1 Timothy is after all this time, it's just before 2 Timothy. All right? Okay. Paul's advice about widows, elders, and slaves, in that order. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead, even while she lives. Give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but they also become gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some may, in fact, already have turned away to follow Satan. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox whilst it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. Those who sin are to be rebuked publicly so that the others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Stop drinking only water, and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not cannot be hidden. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from the service, from their service, are believers and dear to them. These are the things you're to teach and urge on them. And Richard's going to explain now exactly what all that means.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. Wow, there's probably about 10 sermons in what Brian's just read there this morning, and it's quite challenging to fit in 2 hours what I want to say this morning. Okay, we'll give it a go. Paul wrote to Timothy because there were a lot of problems occurring in the church, and in chapter in 2 Timothy it actually says that perhaps Timothy was slightly timid and he needed to perhaps go up a gear where it came to laying down the authority of what God was saying to the church. And that is a challenge, as we'll come on to later on, for the elders and the leadership of the church. It's not an easy task. We don't want to upset people or offend people, but sometimes, if my Bible's correct, the leaders need to do that to keep order in the church. And so we're going to look at these different categories this morning of people within the church. But I was encouraged this morning, because I don't know if you noticed, everything's going to be okay, because we had Superman in our service this morning. And where Superman is, everything's okay, isn't it? So he's gone now. So anyway, we're going to look at these different categories, and hopefully, yes, we're going to look at men first of all, okay? Now, I was thinking about, shall I get away with this or not? But I think I will. I've got 3 pictures coming up, and I thought I would try and associate them with people in the church, how they may look as they get a bit older. And Robin, I hope you can take a joke. I love you, brother. But I thought that maybe, possibly, what do you think? I love you dearly, brother, okay? And I thought the next one might be Keith, and he's not here, so that's okay. What do you think? No? No. Okay, so I thought I'd play it safe, and I'm not going to associate that chat with anyone, okay? But we're looking at men in the church. Can I have, please, all the men who are over 60, would you mind just standing? Because I would love this morning for us to associate who is in our church. So if you're over 60, would you mind just standing? I think it's a good thing to do, to see who are our elderly brothers in the Lord. Fantastic. Wonderful. God bless you all. Have a look around, guys. These are the men who are over 60 in our church. And I tell you what, some of these guys are fantastic at Skittles. I tell you, Fred and David, you wiped the floor with the younger men the other day at Skittles. God bless you. So these are the men in our church who are over 60. And Paul was saying to Timothy here, that we should treat them with honour and respect. But also, he did say that if you need to rebuke, don't rebuke harshly. So he didn't say that the leaders of the church couldn't rebuke older men, perish the thought, and I'd be very surprised if that happened, but there could be an occasion when perhaps that was needed. I pray it never would happen. But Paul is saying you may have to, but don't rebuke harshly. Treat them with respect as if you would treat your own father. In fact, Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall rise before the grey-headed and honour the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." And in Proverbs 16:31, "The silver-haired is a crown of glory. It is found in the way of righteousness." So we need to honour and respect our elderly men of the church. And I tell you guys, there's a lot of wisdom in these gentlemen. They have, over the years, learned things and made mistakes, I'm sure. So we need to honour and respect them. In fact, the word rebuke is quite strong. In the Greek, apparently, it means to strike out. So it's a very strong word to rebuke someone. But in an elderly person, it says, do not rebuke harshly, but exhort him as your father. Young men, now, I think I got this in the right order. I took this picture of myself. Yeah, there we are, brilliant. What do you think? You can see the likeness, can't you? Young men of the church, can you stand up if you're under 60 this morning? Come on, have a look around, church. These are the young men of the church. God bless you all. Thank you for standing up. That's really good. Now, we're to treat these men as our brothers. Now, I've got one brother, and I thank God for him. We get on really well together. And there's one thing I can do with my brother that I perhaps can't do with everyone, that is to be honest with him. I can approach him and absolutely be myself. And sometimes in church, we can come and someone will say, "Gee, how are you this morning?" "Oh, I'm absolutely fine, fantastic." And inside, you're absolutely hurting, or you've had a terrible week. I don't know what sort of week you had this week. I pray it was a good week. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be really honest with one another? When someone says to you, "How are you feeling this week?" "Well, actually, I've had a terrible week. Can you pray for me?" And I think Timothy Paul is encouraging Timothy here to be honest. Be honest. Treat the younger men as brothers. We can really unite together and help one another and support one another. What a wonderful thing if we could do that. Okay. We're skipping through quite a lot this one quite quickly. The women of the church, okay. No. Oh, why not? I based that one on Jean, actually. Sorry, Jean, I do love you. I knew she could take a joke. Okay. The older women of the church. Could you stand up, please, if you're over 60 and you're an older woman of the church? Let's see you this morning. Now, be honest now. Come on. God bless you all. Have a look around, guys. These are the older ladies of our church. And thank you all for standing up. I appreciate that. You know, it's taken me a while to get used to people in the church. And I'm getting to know you all this morning myself. And it's great you're standing up. Thank you. Now, these women were told to treat as mothers. Okay, now, I've got a tremendous relationship with my mother. I know not everyone has. But you've got a mother in God. If you haven't got an earthly mother at this time, we've got mothers in the church. And it's lovely to look at these dear ladies. I'm sure any of them you could approach if you've got a problem or you need some advice or you just need a hug. Is nothing wrong with hugs, is there, Brian?
No.
We love hugs. Hugs good. and I love to hug. And if you're feeling a bit low, just go to one of these lovely mothers and say, give us a hug. This is the first and only time I'm preaching, okay? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. What's the problem? You know, sometimes you're feeling a bit low, hug can really sort things out. So, sorry ladies, if you all get hugs after. But it's saying treat them as mothers. And my mother has got a lot of wisdom again. And, you know, when you're young, we think we know it all, don't we? We know everything. But I tell you, mother is usually right. And again, you might need some advice. And I know there's people here I could approach. And I know it would be sound advice. So I think Timothy here is being told, look, treat elderly people as mothers. They should be approachable. You should be able to approach them. Now, the younger women, now they're... Sally, what do you think? Okay. Okay, younger women. Now, this one's quite a hot potato, if I can put it that way. How do we treat younger women in the church? Well, Paul is saying to Timothy to treat them with purity. Now, Jeremy touched on the earlier passage about one thing, how younger ladies perhaps should dress. And I felt that was a good word he gave. And we live in a society, let's be perfectly honest, if you go out and walk around the streets, you tend to get a lot of younger ladies that are not dressed so appropriately. And within the church setting, Timothy was told earlier on to teach younger ladies to dress appropriately. Because in the church are all these lovely young men, and things can be taken the wrong way. And I love this description that Paul said here, to treat the younger ladies as your sister. Now, I think that's a wonderful thing to do. I've also got a sister who I love dearly. And it's just, again, we can be honest and open with our sisters and find comfort. And in the church setting, that can be taken out of context. I know I've experienced in the past in a church where a young guy and a young lady have been counselling one another and things got out of hand the wrong way. And I think it we need to use a bit of wisdom. I mean, I personally believe if a young lady needs some sort of counsel, it's good to have two people in a room if you're counselling. I don't think it's wise to have a young lady and a young man counselling. I'm sure nothing will happen, but it might. You're opening yourselves up to temptation. And call me old-fashioned, I don't mind. I think it's perhaps sensible to have two people in that situation. So there's just an example there of how we should treat younger ladies in the church, and I just think that's real wisdom. Trouble is when you're preaching, you go off on one, don't you, and then you've got to come back to your notes. Where was I? There we are. Okay, yeah, excellent. So I hope we can take that on board. Sorry, ladies, if you're under 60, can you stand up? I don't want to be... Thank you. Now, have a look around your sisters. God bless you all. Thank you for standing up. I appreciate that. Thank you. Sorry, no offence. Okay, lovely. Now, we're coming on to another issue. Now, widows. Now, if you're a widow in the church and you feel you can you stand up this morning? Because I didn't know who the widows in the church were. I knew a few. If you are a widow this morning, you feel you can. Could you stand up? I think it'd be wonderful. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Look at these dear ladies, guys. Now, these ladies need our love and support. Thank you for standing up. I really appreciate that. Widows, okay. Now, we live in a totally different society today as when this was written. In those days, they didn't have social services and all these wonderful helps that there are on a financial basis. So in these days, the church was looked upon to help and support widows in the church, which is a good and a right thing to do. But there are quite a lot, in fact this is probably the longest portion in this chapter, spent on looking at who are really widows. Unfortunately, perhaps in those days, people did abuse the church. And I'm saying this in love this morning. We know this day and age with social services, people can abuse the system. I know I've worked for people who are claiming sickness benefits for bad backs, and they're like helping me carry the furniture around. I'm thinking, wow, you know, you're looking pretty good to me. I don't mean to be judgmental, but people can abuse the system. And this was probably what was going on in this day within the church. And so Paul is saying to Timothy, you know, there are these safeguards. And there are widows who are really in need. If they didn't have any sort of family, they were destitute. They had nowhere else to turn. And praise God, the church was there for them. And the church did support them financially. But what Paul is emphasizing here very strongly is that if the widow has a family around them, it's really the family's responsibility to help and support the widows. Let's look at verse 8. It's quite strong, actually. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially those of his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow, that is really strong words. So it was the responsibility of the relatives to help, love and support the widows of the church, to get around them. And in a way, I suppose, bringing it down to earth today, financially, possibly the widow doesn't need financial support because of social services. But there's one thing I've learned, because I've got, my father's in a home, he's got Alzheimer's, and my mother is fairly housebound. So in the last couple of years, I've learned a lot about, in a way, she is a widow, because she's on her own. And I would say, and I'm sure those sat amongst us would agree with me, one of the biggest things in a widow's life is loneliness. It can be loneliness. And I make it my duty to, I ring every single evening of the week, and I got a brother, as I said earlier, that helps. But I can always tell when I ring if my mother hasn't seen anyone that day. I can tell straight away, I thought, you haven't seen anyone today. And it's a big ask, because we live in a world where the family grows up and some can move away, different countries now. Families are having children later in life. We're finding this. We're still bringing up three young children, but I'm also dealing with my mother. Years ago, they probably would have had children younger, and the children would have left home, which would have freed up the the parents of the children to care for their relatives. So we're living in a very different society nowadays. The two are coming together in a way. You're trying to care for the younger children and your parents as well. And it's a big task, and I don't say that disrespectfully. I'm just being honest this morning. So where does the church fit into this? Now, I happen to know one of the things about Slatebrook, which really blessed me, and one of the reasons why we joined. Within a week of coming here, I sensed this was a church that cared for people. I know there's people in this church that go around and help elderly people, visit them, shop for them. Fantastic. And I want to encourage those who are doing that already to keep doing that. But if I can be honest, we've got to be wise as well, because those that are doing that already, if we're not careful, can burn themselves out. Because one thing I've learned with Mum, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, I'm being honest this morning, it doesn't matter what you do, it's never quite enough. And I'm being honest, okay? I love her to bits, and I would do anything for her. But I find if I went around and visited every single day of the week, that would become the norm. And I physically can't do that. I would burn myself out. So I have to be honest and say there's only so much I can do. But I'm sure in the church, there may be others. Perhaps you've got a couple of hours a week. I've got to be careful what I look up here, haven't I? If I look at you, I'm not talking to you directly, okay? You may be able to spare a couple of hours a week where perhaps you could go and visit someone who is lonely. And I'm sure they would put on the kettle and have a cup of tea with you and just talk. Now, if you feel you can help in that way, if you approach one of the elders, they'll tell you where to go. No, they won't tell you where to go, but well, perhaps they might, I don't know. They will tell you in which direction to go to an elderly person who I'm sure would appreciate a visit. It's silly things that we take for granted. Like sometimes mum will ring up and say, I've got a letter I've got to post. It's got to get to someone's birthday. She can't get out to post a letter. Things that we take for granted. You know, post a letter, what's that? But to them it's a big issue. It's someone's birthday and I need to get a card to them and I can't. So it's just thinking as a church, how can we help and support these dear folk within the church? It's a challenge to us all. Sorry, there was meant to be a picture there. Not a very good one, is it? Okay. But I can't emphasise enough the immediate role of the family connected to that person. And you may have a mother this morning. I don't know. I don't know what your relationships are with them or a father. But perhaps they'd do a phone call or some way of just showing love to them. Perhaps there's a need there. Have you ever asked, Mum, Dad, do you need anything? Are you okay? They may well take you up on that. But again, you have to be wise. It's a real balancing act, this. It needs a lot of wisdom because you can burn yourself out. And I think Paul was addressing this to Timothy. Look, do help those who are really in need, but watch out for those who perhaps don't need that support, because if you try and please everyone, you're going to burn yourselves out. So it needs a lot of wisdom there. And it talks about the younger widows, how perhaps they could marry again and not be a burden to the church. There's all these stipulations that Paul is telling Timothy here. It talks about the younger ones going around gossiping. No. Seriously? Never. And all these little, it's quite strong, isn't it? So there are, again, a lot of stipulations there on the way we should treat the widows of the church. Okay, now we're coming on to, hopefully, the elders of the church. Wow, what an awesome responsibility you guys have it within this church. If you're an elder this morning, now I know John Richardson's away, could you just stand up if you're an elder in this church? I think it's good to just see who these guys are so you know who to blame, okay? Can you stand up? John, Fred? And I think Chris, could you mind standing up on this, Chris, please? Because you are one of the leaders of the church. These guys, and I know John would be standing up, and Jeremy if they were here. These guys run this church, okay, and they need our encouragement and support and love. Thank you ever so much. Appreciate that. Thanks, Fred. Now, the Bible says that these guys are worth double honour. Okay, double honour. Now, I know there's the gentleman that stood up this morning are not given a wage from the church. They do what they do voluntarily, and we thank you for that. Jeremy, I believe 6 years ago?
Five and a half.
We won't fall out over it, John. About 6 years, five and a half, 6 years ago, the church took a very brave decision by approaching a man to help lead the church. And it was Jeremy. God bless Jeremy. We really appreciate him. And they also took on a very bold decision in financing Jeremy. Now, that was a brave decision as a church, I can well imagine, all those years ago. And that took a lot of faith to do that. And when the Bible talks about double honour, it actually does talk about paying a minister to run the church. Now, churches through the centuries have had a problem about paying ministers. There's been a lot of mumbling and grumbling in the background. Well, surely they should do it voluntarily. You know, the money we have should go to the poor, which is true, it should. But my Bible teaches me here that no, you should honour the minister and pay him. Now, I haven't got a problem with that personally. Jeremy needs to live, he needs to bring up his family, and I think it's a blessing. I really do consider it a blessing that we can support Jeremy financially. And I know the church, again, is very good at that, and we're to be encouraged by that. Now, this one I know Wesley's going to enjoy because, let me have a look. Oh, that's the elders, by the way. Okay, now, hopefully, yes. Now, Wesley said, what on earth is that all about, Dad? Now, that is an ox muzzled. Now, when this was written, biblical days, they used to harvest corn, and they used to spread the heads of the corn all over on a floor, and they would get oxen to trample on it. But there was a problem, because if they didn't muzzle the oxen, thank you, God bless you, the oxen would eat some of the grain. And so the farmers, I used to work for a farmer, by the way, not all farmers, Eric, but some of them are quite tight, in love. Some of them, you're very generous, I know that. But some of them are quite tight, and farmers would not like the oxen eating some of the grain, would they, Eric? No, thank you. So they used to put this muzzle on them. And so what Paul is telling Timothy here is do not muzzle the oxen. Verse 18. Do you know, I think I'm going to start needing glasses. I know I'm looking down here and it's all blurry. But for Scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker is worthy or deserves his wages. So it's talking there, don't muzzle Jeremy, basically. Okay, let's support him and bless him financially, which the church is already doing. Okay. We move on to, I'm going to keep that up a while because I haven't got a slide for this one, but it's do not entertain accusation against an elder, verse 19, unless it is brought by three witnesses. The elders of the church are running the church, and they're doing a grand job, what I've picked up of it. But there may be times, I don't know, if the elders suddenly decide, I know, we're not going to have communion, we're going to have a game of bingo instead. I think we would have... I think we might... I'm just using that as an example. Okay? I think we might have cause to perhaps approach them and say, I'm not sure about that, guys. I think you could be wrong there. So if there was an accusation against an elder, it should be approached, the Bible says, by two or three witnesses. Now, in the Middle Ages, apparently, the church protected its corrupt bishops by asking or demanding there to be 72 witnesses before they could take action. So in those days, there was a lot of corruption within the church, and it would be 72 witnesses brought forth before they took action. Well, again, I've only been in this church a short while, but I know the elders have got the best heart for the church and the leaders. And I'm sure they'll admit to you this morning, they make mistakes, of course they do. We all do. They're only human. And but again, we need to honour them, who they are. They may make a decision we don't agree with. I mean, I'll be honest with you. We're being honest this morning. Alpha, I've always done Alpha in the autumn. It's religion in me. We always do Alpha in the autumn. We're going to do it in January. I tell you what, praise God. What a wonderful decision to make. You know, I had built in me, we always do it this way, so why aren't we doing it this way this year? I praise God that these guys sought God, prayed about it, and thought, no, we'll do it in January. Fantastic. But there may be times when you don't agree with the decision they make. When I first heard it, I didn't agree. I thought, I don't know. But we should love them enough to respect their decision. I'll tell you why. A member's mistake may affect only the member. A leader's mistake can affect the whole church. So they need a lot of wisdom on how they direct the church in certain areas. And one thing I've learned, if you don't agree with something, I know they are approachable. I know they are approachable and they'll talk things through with you. But more importantly, they will open up the scriptures and look at what the scriptures are teaching on a certain subject. And so I praise God for that. So before perhaps we approach an elder or a leader, perhaps we need to just think a little bit. Is this going to, what am I about to say? Is this going to encourage them? Is this going to discourage them? So we need to just be a bit careful when we approach and be sensitive. That's perhaps what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying if there is a problem we shouldn't approach them, but just be sensitive about it. They need a lot of wisdom to run the church. And we need to support and pray for them. Okay, verse 12. I think actually we're at the end. Oh yes, sin, that's right. Okay, we're coming on to the last bit now. Yes, sin. Where are we? Okay, verse 24. The sins of some men are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. Some sins are just obvious. It speaks for itself. And some are hidden. And we don't know about them. Oh, bless you, bruv. Isn't that lovely? That is showing love. Wonderful. And so, I mean, that really speaks for itself, doesn't it? What they're saying about sin. That's right. Okay. Wine. Someone said that after dealing with this lot, he needed a drink. No, I don't know. I don't personally read it like that. But I do read, in those days, the drink of water wasn't pure. Timothy decided, I don't want to drink at all because it may affect me in some ways. I may not be able to make rash decisions. But Paul was saying to him, look, you're suffering ailments. You seem to have a stomach problem. And he said, look, drink a little wine. It's good for the stomach. Now, That's a sermon in itself about alcohol and drinking. Personally, I haven't got a problem with a glass of wine. I'll probably open up the occasional bottle. Don't let me down, love, will you? And it'll probably last me a week, if I'm honest. Just have the odd glass now and then, and I enjoy it. And Timothy is being taught here, look, it's good for you. It's good for the stomach. You're making yourself ill by laying down a strict law. I mustn't drink at all. And so there isn't a problem there. If you have a problem with drinking, my advice is don't drink at all. It's between you and God, that one. Just be wise about it. Verse 22, laying on of hands. Can I get a blank screen on that now, sir? Do I just... Oh, slaves. We might miss that, actually. Time's not with us. Okay, that's better. Laying on of hands. Do not be hasty. I've been in a church setting where there's been a need in the church. For example, the worship group might be really struggling because there's not enough members. And someone will come in the church, plays a guitar, drums, goodness knows what. And your first thought is, wow, these guys are brilliant. Let's get them in on the worship group. And I've experienced that was a big mistake because we hadn't allowed time for them to come in the church, and we haven't learned how to assess that person, if I can put it that way. And even though they're very talented and seem fantastic in their ministry, they actually cause the church a lot of problems. And I think Paul is being really wise here to to Timothy, saying, look, don't be hasty in laying hands on people. When they used to bring people into ministry, they would lay hands and pray for them. As we heard last week, John talked about Jeremy. They laid hands on Jeremy. And so I think the church is wise to just hold back a little bit and suss that person out, get to know that person. And I believe if there is a problem, it will gradually reveal itself. And I think, as I said, Paul is just being wise here to Timothy. Don't be hasty in laying on of hands. You may pay for it later on. Okay, I think we're up on time. Yeah, what I'd like to emphasise this morning is we are a body. Different ages, different sexes. I love the worship this morning, Chris. It emphasised on loving one another, respecting one another. Before we speak to one another, is what you're about to say going to encourage a person, discourage a person? Are we thinking, how can we support people in the church, widows who are lonely? What can I do about it? Not what can, oh, well, so-and-so does that, that's all fine. No, what can I personally do about that? A phone call, a visit, a card. A younger person in the church who's struggling, are you the sort of person they can approach? Or are you defensive? Are you an approachable person? Can a young lady in the church approach you and say, look, I've got this problem I need help with? It's a challenge to us all as a church. And I believe Paul is addressing Timothy here, look, this is the way I want you to try and run the church as individuals. We all have a responsibility, whether you're the oldest or the youngest. We all have a responsibility on how we conduct ourselves as a church. And I truly believe this morning, and I'm preaching from my heart, that if we are a church that really love one another, people out there will see that. I want some of that. Eddie, I hope you don't mind me using you. I know you were quite a lonely person, weren't you? And you saw this lot ain't too bad. You thought you'd joined us, yeah?
Yeah.
Apart from me, well, that goes away. So, but there's an example. Eddie saw, these guys are okay, actually. Yeah, I want some of that. We're in a unique position here, outside Tesco's. Thousands of people go by, and I know I keep harping on about this. But somehow, I'd love this church to be a place which really shines. I want people to walk by and say, something's going on in that place. What is it that they want to come in? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we get to that position where people walk by and know Sleybrook is alive. There is something going on in there, and I want to be part of that. Let's pray. Father, I do give thanks for your word. I give thanks for your instruction. And Lord, I just pray you'll take what I said this morning in some way challenge each and every one of us on our part to play within the church, whether it is to just be there for someone. And Father, if we have got things that we feel are not right, Lord, I pray, Lord, we would be sensitive the way we bring that issue up and bring that issue up with respect and love. Father, at the end of the day, we want this church to grow, not because it's Sleybrook, but because it's the Church of Christ. And we want others to know that you are alive because of our conduct within the church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.